The S&D Podcast Channel, the perfect channel for any style of podcast. We have all different pop culture style podcasts for all of your listening needs. If you would like to start a podcast, you can reach us at sndpodcast@gmail.com. We are always looking for new podcasts to add to our channel, and the topic could be anything you want. So contact us now.
Tuesday, S&D Podcast, 390. Just like last week, this week we get to talk about more special teams, special players to make special plays. Hopefully make special plays for their teams.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, they don't make special special teams plays.
Well, the late round guys, I hope they do.
Not special teams.
Well, yeah, those guys. I'm referring to the first round guys. Us, they're freaks.
Well, your guy, I don't know if he plays on special teams, I'll be honest. I don't know if he can return.
I'm sure he could return if he needed to.
You know, speaking of returning,
Daniel Jones is going to return kicks? We're just at the point. We're just throwing him back there. We got nobody else.
I feel like returning is going to be very interesting.
Right.
Because the way it's going to be set up, to me, you need a running back skill.
Right.
You need a ball handler skill.
But it was always, I guess it might have been always that way. But
this is
you really need to be able to read
blocks. This would have been perfect Sterling Shepard rookie year. His career would have probably lasted longer. Because he always was good in college with the ball in his hands.
But he was never getting the ball in his hands. To read blocks the way it's going to go. Everybody, it's basically a line of scrimmage again. So it's going to be, I don't know if it changes the skill or not.
I still feel like it's just going to be touchback after touchback after touchback.
But it's not. If you get a touchback, they get the ball to the 35-yard line. It's basically kicking it out of bounds.
Don't kick it. So you got to pop it up every time.
Well, yeah, that's the idea. They want returns, but they want safe returns. It's supposed to be the best of both worlds because you're not running 60 yards anymore. You're running 15 yards.
Right. You're not running at full speed at the guy. And that was the key.
For 40 yards. Yeah. That's not, it's not the way it is anymore. Like I said, it's basically a run play at this point. It'll be interesting to watch. We need to watch some, XFL or USFL, whatever it came from.
United Football. Isn't it United Football League?
Now it is.
They combine them, right?
Or was it four teams from each, I think, combined?
Pretty sure, something like that.
I have no idea. I know it was on the other day. I didn't watch it.
It was on. Yeah. It was.
It started on Easter Saturday. Easter Saturday and Sunday. Rough time.
Yeah, not the best.
I feel like that was the week between that Elite Eight Final Four type of week, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So it kind of worked out where it kind of just faded.
Yeah.
But we are here to talk about the NFL draft this week. Thursday, round one. The Packers are probably going to take some useless linemen that nobody's ever heard of, like they always do, because they don't take skill players.
I don't know about useless, but it's probably
outside the name of Jordan Love, who's the greatest skill player they've taken since Aaron Rodgers in the first round.
Yeah, listen, working out pretty good.
It's 1 year, Vincent. You can't go every 20 years with a stud, okay? That's it. We're done. We talked about this.
Maybe not.
One has to fail. Odds are forever not in your favor.
Yet, it just keeps happening.
Yep. 3 times in a row in the last 30-something years.
And only 2 rings to show for it.
Yeah. We're going to have 3 soon.
Right, how many years did it take Rodgers to get his one? It took 6, right?
2, 3.
Really?
Year 3 as a starter.
Year 6.
Year 6? 5, something like that.
And same, I mean, Favre technically was year
six.
I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, he got drafted.
Well, Favre went to more Super Bowls than Rodgers, so that means Rodgers is worse than.
It's only one more.
It's one more than the other guy. It's all that matters, Ben. At the end of the day, the scoreboard reads one more than the other team.
I don't know how many. I think.
Yeah, but how many? How many NFC Championship games did?
That's what I'm thinking. Rodgers, I think, went to more. Favre. They went to, I think, three in a row when they won. Because
they went back to back. Yeah.
Right, but they went the year before they won. I think too. And then I don't think they went to another one until 2007.
Brett Favre has 13 career playoff wins. Okay. He has played in the 96 NFC Championship, the 97 and 98. So that's three in a row.
Right. That's 90, the 95 season, 96 season, and 97 season.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
So the one, and then he played in two more in 08. And technically, he played in another one in.
Oh, the forgot about the Viking.
If we're Viking. Counting the Viking.
Yeah. So okay. So I think they're even. Now that you're saying that.
Hold on, Aaron.
Let me try to get it. 2010, Aaron, obviously.
Conspiracy theorist Rodgers.
Yeah, conspiracy theory. 2010, 2014, 2016.
That's what I want then.
2021.
He's 12 and 10 lifetime in the postseason, by the way.
And 2022. So, yeah, they both went to five.
So that means 11, that's his final record in the playoffs.
11, 15, 17, 20, 21.
Yeah. Oh, it was 19 and 20. I said 20 and 21. That's what it was.
Well, I'm reading based on the year that they played the
game. Right. You're
going by the season. I'm going by.
Yeah. That's the years they were played. It was. Oh, God.
So that just means that Rodgers went to one more as a Packer.
Grand Favre.
And then Favre famously in the
until next season. Year when Rodgers ends up in Minnesota magically. And
at this point, they can take him. I'm
Sam
not.
Sam Darnold.
It's a hot take. It's definitely a hot take. But my hot take is the Jets would win more games this year if they drafted Michael Penix at 10 than if they just stuck with Rodgers.
Listen, they very well may draft the quarterback in the first round and be like, hey, guess what? Now you get to do what you did with Jordan Love, but here.
They're not going to draft the quarterback in the first round. They're going to draft the tight end.
No, they're not.
They're going to draft the tight end who he doesn't throw to. That's what they're going to do.
Well, that not only that. They're
well,
gonna,
he's not used to
gonna...
a first-round skills guy.
He owns the team, and everything he says goes, even though he'll say the team needs to focus on things, and then he'll go on a random podcast and just say the most random shit ever. And you're like, okay, Aaron, awesome. So much
we need
for...
to keep everything in-house and focus on winning, but I can go and talk about whatever I want.
Is he allowed on the McAfee show yet again? Or is he still...
Yeah, that's just seasonal, so...
No, because they said they were gonna do like a once a month thing, and then he said the shit about Kimbo, and that was the end of him. Nobody's seen him since.
True.
I don't know. If I had to guess, he won't be back this season for McAfee. But we'll see.
Well, is that a ESPN decision or is that a McAfee decision? Is the question.
It seems that McAfee has control over his stuff, but he made the decision to not have him on again.
Right.
So.
I highly doubt that with AJ being on.
You're probably right.
How AJ didn't play a lot of years with Rodgers.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, really? They did their best friends.
They got drafted a year apart.
Huh. It felt like he played more years with Favre. It feels like that way.
Hold on,
at least.
Hold on one sec.
Someone's at the door. all right. Since we'll go off the draft a little bit. there's been a leak rumor of what may be an additional jersey for this season for the Giants.
Right.
With the red stripe in the middle, blue shoulder.
Yeah, the 1930s jersey.
I thought it was the 25. Was it 25 or 30?
I think it's the third. I saw it on Twitter that it was the
original. It was basically the original.
It's one of the originals, yeah. But then again, they would have to bring the Michigan helmet, their style of Michigan helmet.
That's the thing. Wes is all for it.
Yeah, see, whatever Wes says goes, because he's the one that told me about it.
Yeah, I don't want the helmet. I don't care about jersey. Just don't give me all reds again. People are like, oh, give me all reds.
Yeah, I don't get the obsession with all the reds, but honestly, I think
because it's like the Islander and the Fisherman. It's like the Islander and the Fisherman one. It's like, oh, they wore it. That was like not the cool thing, but
the red jerseys were all right. The gray pants were just so atrocious with it. If it's with the white pants, it's gonna be better.
Didn't we not win one game in those jerseys?
We won one game, and it was the snow game against the Cowboys in 05.
Okay. My
autism is kicking in, and Antonio Pierce scored on a fumble.
I just feel like we just never won in those jerseys.
Yeah, it's like our white color rush jerseys.
Oh, yeah. But at least those look nice all around.
Mm-hmm. We're like 1-7 in them. Wes could probably tell us the record, real record, but it feels like that.
You know, it's weird because they lifted the complete. Last year they added everyone can have an extra helmet, and now they completely lifted the helmet thing. And there was a rumor a little bit towards the end of last year, if they lifted it, the Giants would go 10 home games, 10 helmets. Which would have been ridiculous. But it would have been basically like a decade of helmet because it's the 100th anniversary. Right. Which would have been cool to see. But, you know, I'm fine if they're going to wear the jersey once. One game, Thursday night, beat the Eagles 2001 wearing them, and that's all.
Right. That was the only game I remember. Because we always wore it against...
We beat the Eagles in 2001? I don't even remember.
Yeah, that was when Jalen Hurts' first year, and he wasn't great. He missed Jalen Ragalar.
That was that game. Okay, that one. Now I remember. Yeah, Michael he was like Strahan. Wide open in the end zone.
Yeah, the Michael Strahan game.
Yeah, now I remember that game. Okay. 2-2 at the Garden. Yeah, that.
Huh? Isn't it 2-1? I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. DJ died that game, too.
Yes.
The first time.
Am I that behind? Not...
Are you watching ESPN or are you watching MSG?
I'm watching ESPN. It's that behind. Well, all right.
The Michigan boy, Max Pacioretty.
He went to Michigan?
Yes, he did.
Or is he from Michigan?
Went to Michigan.
Okay.
Could be from there, too.
I know he's
under Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin. Jack Hughes committed. Jack Hughes committed. Quinn and Luke played.
Correct.
Jack committed, but then he got drafted first overall and would go said, that's a lot of money. I'm going to do that instead.
Yeah, sure.
Wes, did you go to that game?
Because that was pre-NIL deal, so
yeah,
he wouldn't have made money in school.
I know that was pre-season tickets for you, but I don't remember if you went. Yeah, you did.
A game or two a year he would go to. I remember he would come hang out with us before.
Yeah, that was the year. No.
The
yeah, that
Strahan
was
the retirement season. Game.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's right. He did come.
Yeah. I wasn't at the Strahan one. I was at the Coughlin. That's what it was called.
No, you were.
At
no,
the,
I was talking about Eli. West.
You were talking.
Oh, Eli was the Monday night game, right?
No, Eli was the Sunday day game Sunday. Against the Panthers. I think it was. The Monday night game was the Ring of Honor, and Coughlin wouldn't shut up, and we're all just like, "Guy, we
the
all
Eli
have to go to work tomorrow."
Was the Falcon game, wasn't it?
The Falcon game was
Eli
the.
Yeah, that sucks.
Where we forgot to play defense. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Typical.
That was basically the storyline of that season. Let's not defend their best guys. Every time, I think Ryan was still the quarterback there. Yep. We'd step back, Vin would be like, well, that guy's open, and that guy's open. And you may want to defend that one.
I mean, it was Kyle Pitts every time.
But he never threw Kyle Pitts the ball. No.
Until the end. In overtime, he threw Kyle Pitts the ball.
That game went to overtime.
Going to overtime. Okay.
I thought it was the end of the game. It was the final drive.
The final drive.
Game winner. They all blend in together.
September 26, 2021. Cordell Patterson led the Falcons in receiving. Kenny Holladay had 4 catches for 64 yards.
Yeah, he actually had, that was the classic game we booed Evan Engram off the field.
No, cheered when he came off the field.
Cheered when he got off the field. And then that was on. Oh, that's right. Adoree Jackson missed the wide open interception to seal the game and flat out dropped it. I remember that now. My encyclopedia hard drive in my brain had a file back into that.
Danny, you're going to love this.
Oh, God.
The giant receiving leaders in that game. Kenny Galladay, 4 for 64.
Shepherd had a big game.
Colin Johnson. Wait, nope. Not Shepherd.
He had a one big Johnson. Catch, right?
Yeah, Shepherd scored a touchdown. Had 5
for 51. Saquon had 6 for 43. CJ Board was 1 for 38. There was no receiving touchdowns by the Giants in this game.
Oh, so he must have had
2 for 16.
That was all right, but Shepherd must have had a big play for a first down in the red zone then.
I'm trying to find out how we got
Colin Johnson.
Graham Gano had two field goals.
Sounds about right.
And Saquon had a rushing touchdown. And that was it.
Oh, and then Daniel Jones
we must have
had
got two?
Daniel Jones had a 2-point conversion and he ran over
and he
someone.
Missed.
He converted it. It was right in front of my face. Unless I'm thinking about a different game.
There we go. Football database will give me better
information. He ran over the DT on 2-point conversion.
I don't know why. Why do I remember that?
Yeah, Graham Gano field goal.
Right.
Abdullah Zakavaka, 4-yard reception. Saquon, 1-yard run. Daniel Jones, run for 2-point conversion. And then Lee Smith. And then Lee Smith caught a touchdown.
Who?
For the Falcons.
And that was after Adoree drops a freaking interception to end it.
To seal the game. Yeah.
To tie it. And then I remember.
And then
Koo hit a game winner, if I remember.
No, you did something stupid, though, on this drive.
Probably. Sounds about right.
I mean, it was 2021. We did a lot of stupid things that season.
90% of what we did was stupid.
On the next draw, on the fourth, let me look. Yes, they punted from their, where is it? They punted from their 50 yard.
Oh, all right, yeah. 2020.
The giant leading
tackler. That was the beginning of end of Judge.
Yes, it was 4th and 9 from the 50, and they punted.
Was Tay Crowder with 11? Right. Is the answer to the West question.
And then 2nd and 8
probably.
From the Atlanta from the 50. Ryan hits Pitts for 25 yards, and that seals it. That puts him in field goal range.
Logan Ryan had 9 tackles. Peppers 7. McKinney 6.
And he made a nice fumble, forced fumble in that game. I remember.
Who?
Logan Ryan.
Possible.
Would you guys say Logan Ryan's a Hall of Fame player?
No.
I don't know.
Good player.
A solid career,
but I wouldn't go that
Hall of Fame.
I guess we'll find out in 5 years.
I mean, how many Super Bowls does he have?
That he has a bunch of. He has
two.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was on
more. He only got drafted in fucking
20. And the last completion from Tom Brady in a Patriots uniform.
Technically, yes.
That's true.
Which were these two? Oh, the one versus the Falcons.
The Falcon and the Seahawks. No.
Yes, the Seahawks.
He was on the Eagle one too.
The stupid.
He was gone by then.
Why would you run? Hand the ball to the best running back in the league at the 1 yard line.
He left in 2016. The Eagle one was 2017, I think.
Yeah.
So he left for the Ram one. He wasn't on the Ram one or the Eagle one.
Because why would you hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line when he just fucking
would. You wouldn't.
That would just be stupid.
Shouldn't. Couldn't do it.
Imagine I wish Ken Dorsey was the offense coordinator in the booth upstairs. That would have been fun to watch.
What'd you say, Danny?
Do you guys want to get down to
So here's my question to you guys.
Sure.
All right. So we're all in agreement. Williams should go one.
He's going unless to go one.
Curveball.
He's going one.
He's going one.
Unless he does something really stupid the next 48
hours.
Or if they just like Maine or Daniels
better for whatever reason. It would be stupid of them to do, but let's just say they take Williams one.
We're assuming.
My opinion is simple. The first three are going to determine the rest of the round because nobody's going to pull a trigger to move up to three or four because Washington's not leaving two. Because that'd be stupid of them to leave two. But then again, it's Washington. But new ownership may be, somewhat smarter. So I think they're going to stay at two. The question is, who are they taking? Sam Howell got traded, didn't he?
Yeah, it's going to be... all things point to Jaden Daniels.
But it's going to be one of either Daniels or May.
Or May.
It looks like Daniels, too. Like Danny said, it seems like the way they're going to go. But...
The question becomes, do the Patriots like May enough to stay, or do the Patriots say, all right, who wants to make their own decision here?
The rumors are swirling around that they don't like May and that the Crafts might like JJ better because of the whole Tom Brady thing. But I don't have a bad feeling. I hope not because of JJ seems like a great dude, but I could see JJ being that guy in the green room just like, what's going on here? He'll either go right away or just become that guy. It's just like, yep, he was that guy.
So like, I also am with Danny. I could see him being that guy. It seems really obvious. We do this a lot where it's like, we need something to talk about. They need something to talk about. I think it's going to go Caleb and then Daniels and May in whatever order that is. 1, 2, 3.
Right.
At that point, you would think the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
So here's the scenario, and I heard a lot today, and I hear about it. What?
First off, JJ won't even be in the green room, so he's not even going.
I thought he's going.
He's not on the list.
There's only like 15 guys going
There's
or something
13
like that.
Players. Terrence Arnold from Bama, Daniels from LSU, Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, the O-tackle from Bama, Latu from UCLA, May from UNC, cornerback from Toledo, Neighbors, Azuna, Robinson from Missouri, Thomas Jr., another receiver from LSU, Turner from Bama, and Williams are the only 13 players scheduled.
Well, they're going to show J.J. McCarthy.
They'll have the camera at the house and...
that's gonna be the shot of the night,
Danny.
No, but all jokes aside, I think the draft starts at four. Do the Cardinals feel risky and theoretically trade back with us, or make another trade to get more picks, or just don't be stupid and just get Harrison Jr. for Murray and then just be happy with that? So
listen, you get Harrison Jr. for Murray, right? And if you have a shit year, you're going early again, and the class isn't as great, but you're looking at next year's quarterback class at that point.
I'm not talking about them getting a quarterback. I'm just saying.
I'm talking about next year. I mean, the smart move.
Right, but it depends if there's a team dumb enough to give what they're asking, is what I'm saying.
Okay. With that.
Yeah, but do you risk leaving
a
Marvin Harrison on the board?
Let's just say if it's theoretically the Giants.
Have you heard? Is this something that has been talked about?
But here's the other thing.
No, it's just fan fiction.
Okay.
So if you go back to six, let's just say it is the Giants, right? You go back to six.
You're still going to get either Neighbors or Marvin Harrison if the Chargers still get Ultz.
But you can also see a scenario where the Chargers are like,
excuse me.
Bless you.
To me,
a scenario where they're going to take a receiver because they have no receivers either. They traded Mike Williams and they released, they released one and they traded. I flipped it.
You traded Keenan Allen and released Mike Williams.
I knew it was one or the other, but still, who's left out? They have the young kid and
who stinks.
Who stinks? And now
you're gonna have Harbaugh, and you know offensive line is his thing, and you have him and Slater bookending the lines is a lot better. And then it's a very heavy wide receiver draft class. In the second round, you're gonna get a number one wide receiver. So
yes, I agree. And also, if you kind of look back at the last couple of years of Michigan, they never had top recruits at the receiver position. He stuck with that. Let's win in the trench.
Right. I'm just going by the Harbaugh trend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He went by the, hey, I need to recruit all the top linemen to win the trenches. The rest of the guys will figure it out.
So
we'll get guys who gel.
It's been,
guess what? One of his favorite wide receivers is in the draft this year.
It's been mocked and it's been talked about forever since they made the trade to get the Vikings, made the trade to get the other picks. That, to me, that's where the draft starts. I think those four guys are going in those four spots. If the Vikings get up to five, then obviously
I don't think they would get up to five. They would go to four.
No, they go to five. Because that's the
Chargers.
You're gonna go to, right, because the Chargers, they don't need a quarterback. If they want a receiver, we just talked about how deep this is. They can get one at 23 and get a lineman at 11, because that would be what the Vikings would be giving up. They have
it's a very deep line.
Right,
it's an offensive line and wide receiver draft.
He can get one of each of them with the other two picks. You obviously don't need a quarterback, so to me, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I want more picks. I don't need to take Malik Neighbors. And then Neighbors goes to the Giants at six, probably. It looks like the tackle goes to the Titans. And then you kind of go from there. The Falcons, I really, really don't want the Bears. This might, my fear is the Bears come out of the first round with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze.
Well, yeah. So
that's biggest fear.
That's rough.
So answer Wes's question here. So looking back at that trade, the Chargers selected Eli first, of course. The Giants selected Rivers. They swapped the two of them.
Right.
And it was Rivers and a third round pick that year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plus a 2005 first round pick.
Right. And that was the year we got pick, Corey Webster.
And also a fifth round pick in 2005. So basically it was swap first, give up a second first, and two later round picks.
I mean, it seems like all the reports, it's May or bust for us. So if May happens to be there at four still, go get him.
Right. You could.
The Patriots 100%... are going to determine who's going to trade up. Correct. I think that's Patriots, what it comes down to.
If the Commanders take Jaden and then the Patriots go, we like JJ, which is we all know is very possible. And now you're sitting there at four. Do you jump to four or do you just let it fall and hope the Vikings don't jump you? Or do you jump to five?
So here's the thing with JJ.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like JJ. He, for let me finish. I know what you're gonna say, Ben.
Fine.
I agree with you. What you're about to say, I agree with.
Okay.
JJ is that Captain America guy that he will make the right reads and everything else, and he will put the team on his back.
Captain America.
But the problem with JJ, we haven't seen him. Unfortunately, unfortunate thing about JJ is we haven't seen that. Him taking over a game like a Caleb or a Jaden or a Drake May, unfortunately, that just goes to show how good Michigan was the last couple years, and it's just unfortunate for JJ's draft stock. But with JJ, he does have the potential to be that guy, but unfortunately, we have never seen it on a game tape.
That's the thing, in my opinion. It's actually the opposite. You said it's a shame for his draft stock. It's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing for his draft stock because the fact that it's not there, your imagination can run wild. Because there are throws where it's there.
All right, Steve, you saw every snap as a fan. What you're like more the tiebreaker in the situation.
He has to make three throws a game, and he made them.
Right?
Can he make 15 throws a game? I don't know. But three he made were there.
The easy answer is yes, because you saw him against Bama in the Rose Bowl be the leader of the offense. Okay, yeah, there were run plays, of course, but they were losing in that game, and they had a march.
That
down.
Drive was he was awesome that drive.
Okay, and guess what? You started that game, and the first thing Brian Rosen and I both texted each other and said, "Uh-oh." Not again.
Yeah,
he
threw a terrible pick. Throw. Yeah.
It was an awful pick.
Yeah, he's lucky that the guy was out of bounds.
It was basically TCU all over again. Right. And we're like, this is going to suck.
The thing with him is, unfortunately, he has all the intangibles.
Right.
But he doesn't have that like, oh my God, JJ quality. Like, oh my God.
Like I said earlier in the year.
That's the one thing missing, to me, should
have been more ranked towards middle, like a Bo Nix area, early second, middle second, somewhere in their range where you're going to go to a team where you're not paying him first round money and you're not afraid to let him sit again. And I say this out loud, a good situation would have been the Jets. Put him behind Rodgers for 3 years. Cut Rodgers. Let him play. Put him behind Rodgers for 2 years. Whatever you want to do. Let him learn from someone. Problem is, Rodgers may not want to do that again. But bring him to Atlanta. I'm just saying scenarios where he would be, a good fit behind a guy that can learn from. I wouldn't put him in those.
Guys, sit, though. With how the contracts are worked now, you just
100%. But like again,
the scenario,
in the right situation, I would love to watch JJ be the New York Giants quarterback. But do we have the right situation where he can grow? The only thing that I do look at when it comes to Giants, before you say something, Vin, is Daboll kind of helped Josh Allen grow. So maybe in a way, he has that little.
He's not Josh Allen.
Right.
I know he's not Josh Allen, but you know, he has that. Maybe he has that. I can help a quarterback grow. Just think about it. His first year there with DJ was
three games with Tommy DeVito.
I mean, yeah.
He won three games with Tommy DeVito. That's the thing. The whole rumored thing is that he's going to Minnesota. That is the perfect spot. He's got the star receiver. He's got a legit tight end. Good, you know, what's his name? The other receiver. His name is escaping
the young kid. Yeah,
what's his name?
KJ Osmond.
Yeah, right. And a good defense. Like,
oh, and they have Addison. Duh.
Addison is the only one. Jordan Addison, right. So, like, while it's going to be fifth if they trade up, it's still a good landing spot. So, like, I think that's the best combination of it right there. Right. I, you know, if...
I'm rooting for the kid. I like, yeah. I personally enjoyed what JJ did the last 2 years at Michigan.
Listen, if it works out perfectly for me, if it works out perfectly for me, the Michigan jersey is already in my DH Gate shopping cart ready to go.
So
if he ends up in a New York Giant, I'll be wearing a national championship JJ McCarthy Michigan jersey opening day.
As the Giant fans, the Vikings can't trade up, right? They can't work it out. The Chargers stay at 5. They take Joe Walt. And JJ's sitting there at 6. Do you take him or do you take Neighbors?
Dan, I'm going to use the words Danny used all offseason. If they love him, you'd take him.
So is it 100% on Dable?
It's on both of them.
What I'm scared about is the... You guys there?
Yeah.
Yep.
We cut for a little bit, but go ahead. You froze. There you go. You're in.
All right. Sorry.
There you go. Go ahead.
No, where were we? You guys.
You said what scares you.
What scares
you? You were about to tell us what scares you about.
What scares me about him is the, like I was saying before with JJ, it's untapped potential. So it's going to take a little bit longer for him to get going. And hopefully with our offensive line, he's not going to be mush by the time he becomes good. And then we have a Daniel Jones 2.0 situation. He's better than Daniel Jones. So do not mark what I said in comparing him with Daniel Jones. But
he is sneaky athletic.
Very athletic. The one thing, he's definitely more athletic than Daniel Jones. And I would have more faith in him behind what the Giant offensive line is than I do with Daniel Jones. I feel like Daniel Jones has gone into that shell mode where it's like...
He's the beaten boxer now.
Yeah.
And it stinks because he did have that good year that first year on the Dayball. Okay? I'm not saying he earned the $40 million, but I'm saying he had a good enough year.
Yeah.
He made it to a point where if he had a second good year, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. If he doesn't get hurt last year and we make the playoffs, we're not even having the conversation of what do we need at quarterback. We're figuring out, all right, how can we keep revamping around him?
Okay, so again, you guys are more in tap with Giants than I. Is there bonus?
This is the key. What Wes just said, Garrett and Judge beating the conservative plays into him.
But
Dable's going to take shots.
Is Bo Nix in round 2 at pick whatever 38?
I don't want a 50-year-old quarterback.
I'm just asking.
Because it feels like this guy's been in Auburn and Oregon for the last 20 years.
He's like 26.
So this is the thing.
Who was the guy who got stuck under the flag in Cleveland? The redhead guy?
Whedon.
Okay, Brandon Whedon. I don't need another Whedon on my.
Is there talk of this, Danny, or like not fan talk?
I've heard a little rumble.
AJ?
No, Bo Nix.
A Bo Nix?
I've heard a rumble. I've heard a slight rumble.
Yeah, a little. There's a slight rumble if he's there in the second round.
Right. Because I think he will get him. To be honest. Maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see. There's rumble. Nikki mocked him in her last article. It's interesting. Like what Joe Shane has been saying all along, he hasn't been backing up. We have more needs than quarterback. And he trusts Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito. And even went out of his way to say how much growth Tommy DeVito did over the weeks of him playing.
He's got
to
say it. Whatever.
No, right. I think it's just
He's saying the right things. The key is, and I heard this recent, I think, I don't remember.
Well, he's got to get everybody off the scent of drafting quarterback.
But the amount of due diligence that we've done at quarterback, you have to think something's up.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and I forgot who said it, but if you go into next year with those three quarterbacks, are you going to win four games with Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito at least, because you know Daniel's not going to play the whole season? You know Jones is not making it a whole season. You know he's going to get dinged up. He's going to twist something. Who even knows if he's going to play week one at this point? You know, anyone could say I'm playing week one. But, you know, has anybody seen him throw a football?
And I also, like, it was weird last week saying he said it was just a stinger. Yeah, right, dude. I think if Tyrod doesn't get hurt against the Jets in a monsoon the week before and Tommy DeVito doesn't throw a forward pass in that said game that we would have won if we threw one forward pass, Daniel Jones wouldn't be rushed back and blow his knee out.
I'm just throwing this out there.
Last
season, Drew Lock, the two games he started,
beat the Eagles,
pretty damn good. Beat the Eagles, lost a close game, threw two touchdowns of 269 yards to the Niners.
Didn't he throw a touchdown against us?
At
the end of the half?
No. He threw two passes.
No, he just had a couple first downs.
Yeah. He threw two passes for 63 yards.
I remember Gino came back in because he got pissed by the way he got hurt.
See, the thing that's annoying about the Giants is...
So he threw three touchdowns and two interceptions for about almost 500 yards in his two starts.
My problem with Daniel Jones is it's like watching a different sport while he plays quarterback some weeks. And you see guys like Tyrod Taylor, Tommy DeVito... And having no problems at the end of the season, and why couldn't Daniel Jones do those certain things? Pissed me off last year, quite frankly.
You know the movie Split, where the guy's got different personality different personalities. That's basically like watching Daniel Jones every week. You don't know what personality he's playing with that one.
I would be so excited for Drew Lock's 260 something yards passing. That's a different world.
We talked about this last year. How many games did the Giants
Rangers play? Are taking over.
Four?
Say again?
The Giants, they won what? Four games or five games last year?
Five.
They would have won seven if Tyrod was healthy the whole time. Maybe eight.
Well, that and the two games they cost themselves. The Bills game that they cost themselves and the Jets game they cost themselves.
Right, but I'm saying if Tommy DeVito,
the monsoon out of the Jet game,
playing the Jet game, they win the game.
Right,
he died at the Jet game. So
I know, but he's literally playing the whole fucking game. They're win.
Yeah, no, that Bills game, that Bills game
is the one that haunted us for the whole season. Twice, yeah. you had two touchdowns that you left on the board to end the half and to end the game.
The opening block field goal was the one that haunted our whole season, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to look back at the moment
for Tyrod's sake, yes.
It was that the halftime Buffalo game.
Oof. I don't know the Bill game, but they're up 6-0 and they gave up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They're actually up. No, they were up 6-0.
The Giants.
The Giants. The Bills got a touchdown in the start of the fourth quarter. Gano kicks a field goal to give him the lead, and with 3:48 left, the Bills scored another touchdown.
Okay, now go look at the end of the first half where the Giants had the ball inside the five and did nothing with it.
This was like Sunday Night Football, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tyrod, without timeouts, called out of the pass play on the one and gave it to Saquon and got stuffed.
And then the end of the game,
they were back on the one with an untimed play, and he just lobbed it, didn't even like attempt to make a play.
Well, no. To be fair, Waller did get mugged.
Yes.
Back-to-back plays. They called one and didn't call one.
Yeah, but you're not relying on the flag on every play. If you see him getting mugged, then throw it somewhere. Start running.
It was blatant. It was blatantly bad.
The end of the half, they ran 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 plays from inside the 10-yard line. It was 2nd and 5 from the 8 with 2:23 left, and they didn't punch it in. Oh, no, this is the Bills. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing.
No, the Giants played great defensively. Karake and McFadden had great nights.
They had three plays. Again,
the game that, outside of the Dallas game, haunted the season. Just think about it. Right. Like Wes said, 2 yards consistently in both those games. In fact, in the Jet game, both teams played in a monsoon.
But also right, the Jet game was just ugly all around.
In the Jet game, they did exactly what Vin loves the Giants to do, is leave players like Garrett Wilson wide open, and instead of laying on him for an extra 3 seconds, you let him get up so they can get the ball down at the 1 yard and spike it to kick a game-tying field goal and go to overtime.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
It's great.
I was already on the Cross Island.
It was one of those like really ugly days where it's like both teams suck.
That was the one game Nicole went to. Tommy DeVito was coming into the game, and she's like, "I am not staying for this." I'm like, "All right, fine." Or JJ McCarthy would say, "Bet."
Wait. Okay, right. This is the. So I just pulled up the box score for that game. The leading passer for the Giants. The Giants threw 14 passes in this game.
Tyrod
went 4 for 7 for 8 yards. Tommy DeVito went 2 for 7 for -1.
Yep.
Yeah.
They gave the ball.
And that's also front office malpractice.
This is like,
why is Tommy DeVito the backup to Tyrod Taylor in this situation?
But
the
question. It's not as bad. But it's not terribly far off from the QB sneak from their own 1 yard line.
The QB sneak from the 1 yard line was Joe Judge just giving up on the season.
His career, he knew he was fine. He was like, "I can't wait to be back with the Patriots."
Yeah, it's like, what,
it wasn't that bad, but it's close.
But hear me out. With the Joe Judge 1 yard line, it was Jake Fromm. And it was just for him to like say his final fuck you to Dave Gettleman. This is what you gave me to like ruin my job, basically, in a roundabout ways.
The other thing is, in fairness, the situation in the Jet game, again, we go back. Monsoon, undrafted rookie, no practice, basically.
But again, that's your
fault.
Not expecting.
Undrafted rookie is back.
You would think after 10 rib injuries, Tyrod would know to protect his ribs a little better.
Just that alone, it's just malpractice not to have a real NFL quarterback suiting up that game, knowing Tyrod's history and knowing the Jets, knowing how tough the Jets defense
also,
is in general.
Knowing it's going to be a monsoon, anybody could fucking twist an ankle at any moment.
Especially at MetLife.
On that turf, exactly. I mean, it's just not.
Don't worry, they put new grass in for the soccer game.
It's not great.
And then,
okay,
Tyrod did look good the games he did come back after his rib injury.
Tyrod's fine.
Been a solid football player. Where did he go?
Jets. He's a Jets backup.
He can't wait for him to be the Jets starter.
He's going to carry them
by like week 6.
He's going to carry them to the playoffs. He's actually going to have – he, like, connected with Darius Slayton. So, Garrett Wilson, are you kidding me?
Well, Darius Slayton's sitting out of optional camps for a new kind of – for millions
of
dollars.
So, let's lock it in. Giants at 6, theoretically, at this moment.
No trades. Let's go with no trades are done.
No trades.
4 quarterbacks off the board. We're going to go with –
who's taking the 4th quarterback?
I mean, 3 quarterbacks, sorry.
Okay.
3 quarterbacks.
You 3 quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison, and the linemen are gone.
And Alt is gone.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Neighbors.
Okay. Steve?
I want to say JJ. I want to say JJ.
There has been a lot more talk than I thought. And again, this could just be a he's been the top guy for so long. People are trying to look for something wrong with him. I have seen a lot of Neighbors over Marvin Harrison as an NFL prospect.
So over the thing this with thing.
Problem is that Harrison's been that guy since the day he was born.
And he's more NFL ready at the moment. He's going to walk in and be your guy.
Also with Harrison is he had McCourt being their quarterback last year.
Sure, he stinks.
He's terrible.
Right.
And the way he made him look,
he still put up Heisman numbers.
But that's what I'm saying. He because Harrison made him look good.
But so, right.
Texans surprise everybody and trade up to 4 and take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Neighbors
to put him with CJ had, back.
Neighbors CJ. Had Jaden and Adunze had Michael Penix. So it's like,
comparatively. Can you imagine the draft day commotion that would happen if Houston jumps up to 4 to take Harrison Jr. and puts Diggs, Harrison Jr., Tank Dell, Nico Collins?
Oh, God. Do they?
They wouldn't even need a running back. You just play them all. Just line them all up.
Do they have a pick?
I don't think so.
No, I think they traded it because they had two first-round picks last year.
Yeah, they traded for Stroud, and then they picked up the linebacker from Bama.
Right, who, if I remember correctly, won Rookie of the Year.
Almost.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I haven't seen their names in mocks.
Yeah, because they...
Well, it would be a better pick than I'm used to them having is one thing. Because they actually made
the at play. The end of the day, Neighbors has that talent that you just can't skip. And then, as important as a quarterback is, do you get the fourth quarterback instead of arguably a plug and play wide receiver that could be an all pro right away?
So,
so tough.
Well, the other question becomes, like you said, Danny, such a deep wide receiver. Are you right. saying, do you say, all right, let's go?
That's
we'll go
also
get
a- true.
We'll go get our guy in the second round. In the fifth round, we'll get two guys to try and make up for the one guy. The Texans have 2 second-round picks, a third-round pick, 2 fourth-round picks, 2 sixth-round picks, and 2 seventh-round picks. So they have draft capital if they want to get back into the first round. If they want to get back late into the first round, they have the capital to make a move to get up there.
So their pick was, it looks like, 27th. The Cardinals have it. But then they had
their first to the Vikings for some seconds, is what Wes is saying.
Right. That's what the Vikings just did to get the second first-round pick. Because their pick is 27. Their, like, homegrown first pick is 27. But they traded
it. Right, because they won their division and went to the second round.
Went to the second round. But they're... obviously gave it to the Cardinals in the trade for Stroud. But they had a pick from Cleveland. How did they get that pick? Was that still the fucking Laramie Tunsil trade?
Okay, so they have... not on Wikipedia. Usually they let stuff on Wikipedia. What are your guys' thoughts on the Texans jerseys that were released?
I got to receive them. I didn't study them today. I was busy.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, to be honest.
I liked the red helmet. It's got just the bull horns, and that's all it is. So it kind of looked cool. I wasn't a fan of the H.
I'm so dumb. This is Deshaun trade. Sorry. Move on. they had a
pick. You got a free massage parlor coupon out of it too, I'm sure.
They had Deshaun trade pick from Houston, from Cleveland, and they traded it to the Vikings. So they actually had a pick. I'm surprised they didn't.
They kept their regular home helmet also.
Okay.
And basically just redesigned the jersey a little bit. Just looks a little basically the same thing, just the lines are different on the sleeves. That's really it for their basics. Again, I don't know about the H helmet, though. Kind of like... it's a weird font.
What do you guys think about the Broncos?
Clean.
It's fine.
I thought the Broncos actually came out pretty clean.
They're just... I feel like it's a lot of tweaks, what I'm seeing.
Right. So, then, do you think...
Don't worry. Cleveland changed their face masks. They got white face masks back. Don't worry, everybody. They're coming with white face masks.
So what do you think the Packers are gonna do?
Not an offensive weapon.
Not an offensive weapon is the answer to that question. Okay. They need to come out. They have five first top 100 picks, first three round picks. They're first, the Jets second with their second, and they got a third when they traded Rasul Douglas to the Bills, plus their own third. So they need to come out of that with an offensive lineman, a safety, an inside linebacker. Those are like three. Those are like three starting positions they kind of need, because they need to replace Runyon Jr. They have a guy, but he stinks. So they need to replace Runyon Jr. They need another safety to play with McKinney, and they need a.
I wish we had a safety to play with McKinney too.
They need an inside linebacker. It
would have been nice to have a safety to play with McKinney this year too,
because they cut Devondre Campbell, so they need somebody to play alongside Quay Walker. I think, like you said, offensive line is probably the way they go in the first round. My ideal pick is Cooper DeJean. I think he'd be a great defensive playmaker. He can play safety. He can play slot. He can even play outside corner. They can move him around whatever they want. That's the guy I want. But I also, every time I do a mock draft, he's there in the second round. They need a running back. They need to draft a running back at some point. And I want Blake Corum. But it's not going to happen.
Shut your mouth.
Because Josh Jacobs is tech. Even though Josh Jacobs is on a four-year, he signed a four-year deal. It's a one-year deal. They could cut him like every fucking
NFL. Well, that's contract. Every NFL.
Sorry, right. Vin. I don't mean to laugh. I just saw something on Twitter that cracked me up. You know the video of Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, and Randy Moss with Dan Marino all in their football jerseys about being old in the Super Bowl? So okay, apparently Johnny
on the timeline and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So Heyman just tweeted 3 hours ago. I'm just seeing it now. Johnny Cueto is a Ranger. So the guy wrote Johnny Cueto, Jacob DeGrom, and Max Scherzer in the same rotation in 2024.
Yeah, sent it to the it's a
2015. It caught me off guard.
No, that was very funny. So yeah, like I said, ideally I want Cooper DeJean, but I think the most likely outcome, in my opinion, is a trade back, because they could get the same offensive
backers.
I know they can get this, but they're
you guys are so boring.
I know they can get the same lineman or middle linebacker at 25 that they can get at 36.
They can.
And the odds are somebody who picked, the way I look at it, either the Bills.
Watch it be us and get like Knicks or Penix.
Well, that's. I'm saying, I think the Bills pick.
We take a receiver with six, and then we trade with the Packers to get Penix.
Do the Bills pick after us?
Okay, here's not a stupid question.
Hold on.
But
the Bills pick 28. The guys who pick their quarterbacks in the first round might want to jump up and take one of the receivers at the end of the first round. McCastry or one of those dudes. Brian
Kool-Aid.
Thomas.
Oh, man. Kool-Aid with X-Men next to me.
Kool-Aid McKinstry is another guy I could want. But anyway. So that's, to me,
your question, Danny.
So Penix,
yeah,
he's a lefty. Do you move your left tackle to play right, or you just have to pray that your right tackle is competent?
It can cover the blind side.
I think you have to. I think you got to switch him.
You know, a lot of these guys can play both sides of the line now. We've seen guys move to both sides of the line. I'll tell you this much. If I was the Giants, I would not take Penix knowing that Evan Neal's going to be the right tackle.
What do you guys think of Penix?
I'll tell you this. He was impressive, but not like impressive in the championship game.
Correct.
That was his only bad game.
Though. I know, I didn't really get to watch the rest of the season, because who watches Washington football on a weekly basis?
It was fun.
Danny was. Somebody made a great point that if he played the same way he played, but they lost to Texas and he didn't play in the championship game, his stock would be higher.
You're wrong, because it would have been all about his knee. It's only about his knee right now, dude. His knees, it's his knees and his age. His talent is right there with everybody.
Danny, who was the I saw you took a Michigan lineman late.
Center.
Okay. Okay. So there's two that should be circled late in this draft, like middle to late in this draft.
It was him and
Zinter's coming off a bad leg injury, but it's similar to what
Oh, that's like, the guy with the bad leg injury? Oh, that's on.
Yeah. But Keegan was the other one. No, again.
Right.
We talk about this every year at our draft preview. We talk about the Big Ten and SEC linemen, right?
Well,
when you're looking for linemen, you're looking at the SEC and you're looking at the Big Ten. That's true. Basically where you look. And
that's what we did last night. I got the
Trevor Keegan center. Would be the other one that you
got the center from Ohio State as well. So another school with good offensive linemen.
Looking solid player. I didn't have any issues. You know, I enjoyed watching.
He was a team leader, a good team guy. Unfortunately, his knee blew out. Which game was that?
I enjoyed. It wasn't our game. I think it was like a game or two before us. Zinter? Yeah. Oh, Zinter was the Ohio State game.
Right.
Zinter was the Ohio State game, and literally Corum went to the offense and goes, okay, we go in now for him. And literally the next play, we won the game.
Right. That was a rough injury.
It was, but, you know, we had next man up. Good thing about it. I'm intrigued to see where the rest of the Michigan guys go. Did them playing Michigan boost them or hurt them? You know, nobody's talking about Mike Barrett, who was the leading middle linebacker for the team, the captain.
But he's also a middle linebacker, so
people don't care about middle linebackers anymore. It's just a thing.
Like everyone's talking about Junior Colson, who was the outside linebacker, who also put his hand in the ground, and that's why they're talking about him.
The versatility to him.
Right. It's just that, you know, a thing now. Inside linebackers have faded away.
Yeah, unfortunately.
My biggest question is, does Roman Wilson's stock go up because Ronnie Bell was decent for the Niners? And where do people see Blake Corum?
I think Blake Corum's going to be a third or fourth round guy that it's just running backs now, you know?
Right.
So it's
Benson and everybody else.
Well, that even Benson, but Benson is hurt, right? Or he was hurt.
I didn't hear that.
Texas guy. One of the running backs like tore his ACL.
Yeah, it wasn't Benson.
It wasn't Benson. But even Benson, I've seen like second, third round.
Right.
Well, the Giants ruined top five.
Also, I could see him going to the Giants. He's a home run hitter. Right.
And I also like the running back from Notre Dame, Estime. Okay. He's not the greatest running back, but he could read holes and get the tough yards, bigger back. Good Northeast, Midwest running back.
It's just
change of pace guy.
It's so much wear and tear. Like Corum, you can't pick him to be your bell cow guy. It's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is.
Well, that was the same thing I said about Saquon when we drafted him. You know, I was afraid of, was he worn out in Penn State? You know, he was the kick returner. He was the punt returner. He played every down. He received, you know.
Jonathan Brooks of Texas tore his ACL at the end of the season.
That's rough.
But, yeah, I'm looking at this is a PFF rank. From I don't know when this article's from the 22nd, so yesterday.
So ideally with Brooks the Giants, Corum,
yeah. Anyway.
Ideally with the Giants, they have so many holes. They have to come away with line depth, cornerback depth. Preferably obviously a top wide receiver, either in the first or second round. And if we like a quarterback, grab him. There's so many holes, so you can't really be pissed.
And do they have any extra picks?
No.
We
got rid of our first second round pick for the Burns trade.
Oh, okay. Got it. So it's just
rolling in on bringing Burns in. That was basically what it came to.
First,
we have a first, a second, and a third. Right?
Second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. We don't have
a got rid of the early second first round we got rid of.
The one we got rid of the first second round.
Who got rid of our own
second
first.
Round pick do you have?
The Seahawks for Leonard.
Leonard Williams.
Okay, got it.
So that's like
47.
Mid second.
47.
Okay. So do you? They can't move back. I would say move back, get more picks, but I think.
Neighbors
is a game changer, though, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe move back in the second round and get, you know, another fourth or something.
So are the Jets going to take the kid out of Georgia, the tight end? Or are they going to take, or are they going to hope the other offensive lineman's available?
I would go Fasano from Penn State. He's a stud.
He's the offensive lineman.
He's the offensive lineman. I've seen a lot of Bowers. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a tight end. Again, it's one of those positions where you could just you could find the guy.
They already have
Jimmy Graham is still available. Jimmy Graham hasn't retired. What's his name? Yet.
Conklin is pretty good. And also, I mean, I don't know how
they're thinking along the lines of the kid from Georgia is more of a he doesn't have to line up as a tight end.
He doesn't throw to the middle of the field. He doesn't throw to young players. He doesn't throw to tight ends. I'm telling you that.
He threw a ball to Garrett Wilson in practice the other day. Okay.
And it was behind him, and they posted it.
And they were very, and he was very excited because it was still out of Rodgers throwing him the football instead of Zach Wilson or whoever else threw him the football last year.
Hey, how about the Jets getting two picks for Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
Did they officially give him Russell Wilson's number so they would have, like?
That would be too easy, right?
Is he gonna? No. Is he gonna play?
He's got 1 year left. Huh?
He went to the Broncos, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's one.
I was saying, is he gonna play?
They like the quarterback that started a couple of games, and they're gonna get the last person out of the Bo Nix Penix.
You think?
Guy. Them and the Raiders are gonna go fighting for those last two quarterbacks.
So currently,
right now they got Jarrett Statham, Zach Wilson, and Ben DiNucci.
All right, they're getting that last.
Yeah. Okay. So they have to take somebody.
And Danny, before you say they're getting panicked, know that Matt Peart is their backup right tackle. So if the first guy gets hurt,
all right. So Nick's mic all right, sneaks up, and everybody's like, "Whoa!"
Okay, so they are picking.
They're like,
listen, if there's anyone who could develop a quarterback, it's Sean Payton.
They're picking 12.
Zach Wilson's winning league MVP this year for the Denver Broncos. Imagine they come out with Zach Wilson, they're like 6-0 to start the season, and we're just like, what is happening here?
So this is just another random mock draft that's on a random website. I didn't think if we were talking about JJ. The Vikings could just take him at 11.
If he falls there, yeah.
Because
they could just wait and hope he falls there, and if he doesn't, you know.
Because like this has
their options.
The Chargers taking Neighbors, and then the Giants would take Adunze. The Titans would still go Joe Walt. The Falcons need somebody on defense. So do the Bears. The Jets take Brock Bowers, and then McCarthy sitting there. If JJ gets the 10, the Jets should really take him.
I'm
going to pound the table. The Jets need to draft a quarterback. But they're not going to.
But that's the thing. Do you want to pay first-round money for a guy to sit on the bench, like Danny said earlier?
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be the biggest thing. Are you going to pay a guy first-round money?
No money. The first 2 years is no money. It's the reason we did it. The first 2 to 3 years are no money. The fourth year is the jump. And then, obviously, the fifth-year option.
The option, yeah. Did they sign? They still haven't signed Jordan Love.
They have not given him an extension, though. He is under contract for this season. Like,
because they gave him like a weird like skip the option year thing.
Yes, they gave him a 2-year contract. It was kind of
like what baseball does with skipping the arbitration. They kind of was like, forget this, let's give you this.
Correct. Instead of picking up the 5th year option, they gave him a pay raise last year, which was the last year of the deal, and then
an extra
pretty
year.
Much a normal salary for what was his 5th year.
Right.
But it also gave him outs in case it didn't work. But no, they still have to give him an extension, which is coming at some point, but they just got to get it. I'm assuming they're waiting to get all the draft picks signed and get all the money ordered, and then they'll do it.
Did they open up ownership again to pay him?
No. They're having problems. They're having problems with the city. Like, they were going to do a bunch of
It's the only thing in the city. How do they have a problem with themselves?
That's what I'm saying. But like, they were supposed
they're
to
do fighting themselves over having a problem.
They were supposed to do a bunch of upgrades to like the concourse and all that stuff. And the city, like,
but the tile guy called out sick that day. And
the city, like, didn't.
The one city, tile, like, guy in all of the
is
city
arguing
didn't show
with
up?
Them about how much money they're gonna kick in or whatever. It's a whole big mess. So now they're like rolling back some of the upgrades. It's a whole big thing.
Must suck to be an owner.
You know, it's not the easiest thing, but somebody's got to do it.
But like the way I hear it is just like the one hardware store guy didn't want to show up to work that day because of a snowstorm, so they couldn't upgrade anything in the stadium. It's like in Home Improvement when they have the five guys in the one hardware store at the same time. The owner didn't show up, so they all stood outside waiting for him, and nobody showed up. So can't upgrade anything. Nobody opened today.
There's a lot going on. They're looking for a new CEO because they have a mandatory retirement age and he's getting there. So the current one is getting there. So
I never thought a fan-owned team would have so many issues.
There's a lot going on. We gotta go to fucking Brazil.
We're going to Brazil. You're going to Brazil. We're sending two teams to Brazil where the colors they wear are illegal inside that stadium. Let's just go over that part.
Are they really?
So the Eagle colors are banned inside the stadium because it's worn by the rival soccer team, the team that plays in the stadium, and they're like, they can't wear these.
Well, so
you're gonna have to wear white and yellow only.
Green and black.
I think they have to wear I think they're gonna have to wear their Kelly greens. I think that's the only green that they like. Their dark green is the color of the other soccer team.
Well, they could make a loophole of them wearing the whites like always.
Yeah, but then the Packers are wearing green now. What are you going to wear? The Packers going to wear yellow?
Yeah, they're
so we have to wear white, and the Eagles have to wear their like those light blue and yellow ones they have.
Listen, everyone has a price. NFL has abundant amount of money. They're like, all right, just overlook at this. Don't shake.
You can't even get tiles fixed at Lambeau. You think they're going to pay this guy $1 million?
It was tiles. It was like upgrading the like concourse, like the food things and shit like that.
Oh, the hot dog vendor forgot to show up today.
Yeah, Vin, when you have your owner's meeting, I want to take part of this and see right. How it is.
Okay. I wish they would let me zoom in.
They probably do. You just keep forgetting to read the email. You're probably like, oh, another more shit. Owners just throw it to the side.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't read emails.
All those spam calls you're getting from those random phone numbers is probably the front office trying to get through to you, Vin.
The CEO's calling me like, are you coming to the meeting or no? Sorry.
Guy, we got a meeting. It started 10 minutes ago. Where you at?
The world needs to be electrified. Sorry, boss. Can't make it.
Well, when they need an electrician.
Right. When they need an electrician, you give me a call. I'm in.
Sorry, I can't get a flight to Milwaukee tonight. Gotta play in the dark tonight.
Yeah. Oh my god.
The town's literally the size of the stadium, and they can't find one guy to put a hot dog in the vending machine.
They're having problems. It'll all get worked out, but they're having problems. The parking on somebody's front lawn was just the best.
Oh, they do that. They do it in Dallas too. They do it crazier in Dallas. They do it at the restaurants. You got like Arby's charging $15 to park on their lawn.
No, but it was like literally Spot Hero. And like I showed the guy my confirmation number and he had it written on a piece of cardboard. He's like, yep, that's you. Go ahead. Park. All right. Thanks, brother. That's what it was. I bought one on Spot Hero and the guy just had it on a cardboard list on the front lawn. All right. Let's do it, brother. It's great. Fucking awesome. Great place. Anybody, we got to do it. I don't know when it's. Next time.
I think it's you guys come here next.
I know. We gotta do it.
Wes will definitely come.
Like cheap, stupid, cheap.
We gotta find like an Airbnb that's like literally across the street from Lambeau.
So we host the Packers 2025 as a lock.
They definitely have people that like do, you know, that. But like I said, it was like pretty cheap to stay in Milwaukee and rent a car and drive 2 hours to the game.
Wes, are you still in the chat? You would do this trip, right?
Doesn't look like he's still there. We could play each other in Green Bay in 2026.
If we finish the same.
If we finish in the same position, yes. Because we're hosting the NFC South division tie game that year, and we're going to the North. We get the Niners that year. Do we have a date on that? When's the NFL schedule? It's got to be first week of May, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
First article. Let's see.
There's one with it literally.
Well, oh, upcoming announcement. Will be released in May. Everything.
Probably be crazy. At the current moment, it's $300 a night. In middle of Airbnb.
Thursday, May 11th is the official release.
I don't even want to know what it is then. Let's just go this weekend.
Oh, it's, I'm like, why is it talking about how excited the Buccaneers fans are? And I didn't realize it's a Buccaneer website. Got it. So
there's an Airbnb. It's a 3-bedroom house. It's 3 bedrooms, 8 beds. So I guess you can fit a shit ton of people. Literally, Lambeau is the front yard. It's $3,000 a night for a game weekend. I told you.
That is their income. That's why. That house 100%.
And that's why they complain when they have to go to Brazil. Now, the Brazil game is a Philly home game, so we're not...
Yeah, it's a Philly road game.
And also, you have the extra home game this year, so shut the hell up. You're getting an extra home game. Well, you're not going.
No, it's a Philly home game.
Yes, but you have the extra home game this year. This is a year... The NFC is the host this year of the extra home game.
Yes.
It's true. Yes. We have the extra
home game. What I meant was...
I forgot who we have, London, but yes.
That's why they went to England, because that was the first year they had the extra home game. So they still had the 8 home dates, plus they went.
We have the Colts as our extra home game this year.
Right.
We're playing.
That'll probably be a game I'm not going to.
NFC North. We're playing the AFC North and the Colts. I can't wait till they announce Giants, Panthers, and what are they in Germany? The Panthers have a home game?
Germany is the rumor.
Because that's the game, like, if it kind of works out, Tom and I kind of circled as a possibility.
The Colts are extra home game, too?
No. You're going to go to Germany?
Well, no. He's going to Japan in November, so Germany would kind of be a hassle for him.
Cardinals.
November? Oh, yeah, end of October, early November. The honeymoon is in Japan.
Who?
Tom and Shannon.
Oh.
They're doing all Disney right, Japan. They're doing Pokemon, all that shit. Pokemon. Climbing shit.
Great.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
So, Danny, did they name the mascot that was outside the garden the other night? Or
Nico.
Danny, real quick.
Where did they find that thing?
The guy just made a costume.
Knicks in 4?
Knicks in 5.
Okay.
Okay, more important question, Danny. When Thursday night, what time are we leaving for Philly Sunday morning? 1 o'clock game. 1 o'clock game, and I looked today. The cheapest ticket in that building was $75 for Sunday.
It's going to cost you that much to get an Uber to get out of there.
Tell you that Johnny's birthday weekend, so I have a no game.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Fair enough. He thought about it for a second. You could see the wheels turning.
Steam was going. Nicole wanted to surprise me with game one tickets, and I literally joked that it would be cheaper to drive down to Philly and get everything.
Spend the weekend.
Yeah, it would have been cheaper, and it was just like, holy shit, yep. We could have went to, yeah.
So.
Best thing about Thursday is the Knicks are up 2-0. Obviously, I'm still going to be watching the game like a hawk, but if they were to happen to lose, it's, that sucks, but all right, we got the cushion.
I was telling a coworker today, you go there, as a fan, you're expecting to lose one. because you're expecting their crowd to be ready for game three. And also the league announced that he was fouled twice in the last like 40 seconds, apparently.
Honestly.
I was like, okay, so.
Anyway, Jalen needs to start hitting the shots. And that's about it.
Whatever. Two things worked for me on Monday night. One, the Sixers up 102-94, money line, $30 on the Knicks money line. And at that exact same moment,
my
Philadelphia TV guys were saying the goal is to split when you're the lower seed. So we stealing one at the Garden, back to Philly for Thursday. Going to be a fun post game. And then next thing you know,
yeah,
double bang.
No, anyway. I missed my Nova boys bet by a half a point last night.
All right.
Live betting. That's where you make your money, boys.
Yeah,
live
that's betting. What I did. I got the Knicks money line as well.
I should have live bet the fucking Hurricanes, but I should have done. Anyway.
Heck of that. Anybody could have known. Everybody knew that. With that being said, NFL draft week. Everybody enjoy it. Don't throw a remote at your TV if you don't like it. Don't throw your TV out the window if you don't like who your team picks. Trust your team. Trust your team. Trust your team. Believe in it.
Can't.
Believe in those special teams with the special players making special plays. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.